well with our message this morning. I appreciate that message in song as I was reflecting upon the second verse. I thought, my, that's a good start to our message this morning. I want to turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, I want to read the first 15 verses, verses 1 through 15 in Romans chapter 10. Starting in verse 1, Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. Also want to read this morning from the Karen Bible, the verse 1 John chapter 5 verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says this: De yua asa du je asa por dasi the dani de pa yugwe ni thu di tho thu Guthinia, thu adore, da mu atu ayu, le thu se ginagi, yua apokwa amiaho law. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. To that, we would say, see blue you are. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather once again around the Word of God. And Lord, I ask that you would quicken us and, Lord, bless our time in your Word this morning. May it be profitable and may it be for your glory. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 14 of the passage I've read, Paul asks some questions. And it's good that there's a bird here that wants to rejoice with us. The Bible says, let all creation praise him. And that magpie obviously loves the Lord, just can't keep him quiet. Paul has spoken of salvation in these early verses. In verse 9 especially says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he goes on and asks some questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? He asks a very practical question, isn't it? He says, how are people going to believe unless they can hear the message? If they don't hear the message, then they can't believe. And if they don't hear the message, they can't believe and they can't be saved. And Paul says, someone needs to tell them. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? It's impossible, isn't it? People can't believe it unless they've heard the message. Unless they've heard the message of salvation, that Christ died for their sins and was buried, as they sang this morning, that he's risen from the dead, physically and bodily from the dead, that they need to repent and trust him as their saviour, then they can't be saved. How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And I want to go to Luke chapter 15 now this morning and try and develop this theme and challenge each one of us. How are people going to believe except they hear? And I want to look at some aspects and elements that make up this telling people and sharing the gospel with people, that they might believe and they might be saved. In Luke chapter 15, the opening two verses say this: then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Lord Jesus then goes on to give this parable, and he speaks of three different situations. He speaks of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. These three that are lost are representative of, they picture the publicans and sinners, because the publicans and sinners were lost. They needed salvation and they were lost. And so the Lord develops these three parables to teach some truths that the lost need to be sought out and they need to be told. How shall they believe except they hear? And how shall they hear except someone tell them? So I want to look at some elements that make up this aspect this morning. First of all, notice here the publicans and the sinners were eating with the Lord Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. They were critical of what the Lord Jesus was doing. The first thing I want to remind us of this morning is that when we get serious about sharing the gospel with other people, then expect some ridicule, expect some criticism, expect someone maybe to mock you. Expect someone to maybe even get angry with you when you take the time to try and share the gospel with people. Expect some of that. The Apostle Paul, as he spoke with Felix, Felix said to him, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. He said, you are a crazy person. Expect sometimes that people are going to think you're a little crazy because you want to share the gospel with them. But you do it because you know they can't believe except they hear. And they can't hear except someone tells them. You know, D.L. Moody, who was used of the Lord mightily in America in the early part of, late part of the 1800s and early 1900s, he had the, one of his names was Crazy Moody. They used to call him Crazy Moody. Because everywhere he went, he was trying to talk to people about the Lord Jesus and share the gospel with them. And they said, he's crazy. And he would chase people and he would go out. He made a determined commitment that he was going to speak to someone every day, at least one person, about the gospel and about their need of salvation. He really believed what Paul said. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except someone tell them? And there was a night that he was going to bed, and he realized that he'd had a busy day and he hadn't yet spoken to one individual. And so he went and looked outside, and it was raining. And he thought, well, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's you know, it's kind of the end of the day and it's raining. And then he saw a man walking down the footpath with an umbrella. And he raced outside and he said, can I share your umbrella for a couple of minutes? And he said, certainly. And he began to share the gospel with him and challenge him about his need of salvation. You see, Moody really believed what Paul said. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except someone tell them? It just doesn't happen. People don't just get saved out of the blue. They don't suddenly get a zap from heaven or anything else. But guaranteed, you'll get some ridicule. You'll get some criticism. You're in the workplace and you want to talk to someone and they'll just, oh, you're one of these Bible bashers and you're one of these religious people. And you try and talk to your family and they'll say, don't talk to me. You know, you can keep all that religious stuff to yourself. And on it goes. And you're going to find times when you're going to feel a little rejected. And you're going to feel like people don't understand you because you have a desire to share the gospel so they can hear, so they can believe and be saved, and they just want to ridicule and they want to criticize you. You think about the Lord Jesus. They said of him in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, that he was a friend of sinners, and that wasn't a compliment. That was a criticism of him. They expected the Lord to be quite different to that. They expected the Messiah to be different to that. Not a friend of sinners. Terrible, terrible condemnation it was. And yet, the Lord Jesus was just that. He was a friend of sinners. And so expect some ridicule sometimes. Expect some criticism. You say, that's not an encouraging start to the message. I believe it's a very encouraging start. When you go out, you realize what you face. It'd be wrong for me to say, just go out there and it'll all be good. Everybody will just want to listen to you. No, that's not the case. But the Lord Jesus understands that. The Apostle Paul understands that. And people down through the ages understood that. That they cannot believe except they hear. And they cannot hear except someone's going to tell them. And you and I have a tremendous responsibility. Notice secondly this. In verse 4, the Lord Jesus speaks the parable about the man who's lost the sheep. Verse 4 says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? In verse 8, there's a woman who's lost a coin, 10 pieces of silver. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? What's the point? The point is this. They each made a definite decision to do something about that which was lost. The shepherd, the man who had lost one sheep, made a definite decision. I am going to seek that lost one. The woman said, I have lost a piece of silver and I am going to seek after that. Now what about you and I? Do we make a definite decision to seek out people? Do we make a definite decision? I am going to make sure that I'm going to do what Paul said. I'm going to tell people so that they can hear, so that they can believe. Or do we do it by accident? Do we kind of hope we'll just somehow bump into someone and they're going to say, what must I do to be saved? And let me tell you, that's going to be a pretty rare situation. If you haven't already experienced that, you'll find that out. People are not running around out there saying, what must I do to be saved in general? The Bible says quite the opposite. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And there is none that seek after God, no, not one. But these people in this parable made a definite decision. It wasn't just something that they kind of drifted into or kind of grew into. Well, we just grow into sharing the gospel. No, we make a definite decision about it. I, by God's grace, intend to tell lost people how to be saved. I'm going to make a decision to do that. Let me tell you, if you don't, it won't just happen. You'll get busy and things will come into your life and all sorts of things will happen and distractions and everything else, and a day will go by and a week will go by and 2 weeks will go by and 3 weeks will go by and you won't have spoken to anybody about the Lord. You won't have shared the gospel. Why? Because you haven't been definite, I'm going to do it. By God's grace, I'm going to do it. Notice something else about this too. Verse 4 again, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? To go after that which is lost. Again in verse 8, either what man having 10 pieces of silver, if she lost one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. In other words, they made a definite decision, but their definite decision didn't finish there. That was only the start. The definite decision wasn't for you and I. I'm going to tell someone and then just sit there. I'm going to tell someone. Anytime someone comes by, I'm going to tell them. No, the man who lost the sheep then got busy to seek that sheep. He went looking for it. The woman who lost the piece of silver, she went looking for it. The Bible says there in verse 5, and he go after that which is lost. He didn't sit there and wait for that sheep. I am determined to find the sheep and I'm going to sit here in my house till it turns up. No. The woman didn't say, well, I've lost a piece of silver and I'm going to sit here at the kitchen table until that piece of silver just turns up. No, she got busy. He got busy. They began to seek. The Bible says in verse 8 that that woman, she was seeking diligently. She got busy about this task. And you and I, we need to understand that people out there are lost. They're not running around looking for God and for the things of God. They may be looking for answers to life. They may be wondering, what is life all about? Why am I here? What's the purpose? Maybe I should just go and commit suicide and just kind of end everything and let's get out of here. And maybe I should do this and maybe I should. And there's people out there all over the place like that. They're lost. Lost. And so they're not going to come around to your place, knock on your door. I understand you're a Christian. Can you tell me how to get saved? And bless God if that ever happens. But the point about it is they made a decision to seek. And you and I, if we're going to be doing what God wants us to do and to have God's blessing in our life in a much greater way, then we have to make a definite decision to seek. Now, whether that's in the workplace or whether that's, wherever it is, we're going to be looking. But we are seeking for someone to talk to about the gospel. That's what we're doing. We're seeking that. We don't just kind of go out there and hope we trip over someone, or they'll trip over us. You know, you bump into someone and assume, oh, sorry about that. Oh, God, I'm glad I bumped into you. Can you tell me how to get saved? No, that won't happen. But they made a definite decision to do some seeking. The Lord Jesus, the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to do what? To seek the saved, that which is lost. He came to seek. He didn't just come down and say, here I am, come around, gather around, it's all good. No, he was seeking them. Wherever he went, he was seeking opportunities to point people to himself. So you're going to get some ridicule. You have to make a definite decision. Because if you don't make a definite decision, the ridicule and the mocking and the scoffing and all that will soon overwhelm you. And you'll give up and you'll say, it's too hard, I just can't take it, I feel like I'm being rejected by these people and all those kind of things. You make a definite decision to seek. I want to say something else about this. The emphasis here, one of the emphasis at least, is on the one. What man having you 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He's looking for one sheep. He wasn't looking for dozens of them, he was looking for one. I'm thankful that you and I don't have to go out each day and look for 50 people to talk to. We wouldn't be able to do that, but we can all go looking for one. You say, do you think you should share the gospel with everyone every day, every time you see someone? I don't think that's going to happen in reality, no. But have we made a definite decision that I am going to seek an opportunity somewhere today to talk to someone? Do you sit down and think about friends you've got, you think about family or whatever, and you say, Lord, today I am going to try and talk to that person. I make a definite decision. And it's one person that I'm going to talk to. Lord, I'm looking for one. The Bible tells us there. The one. The importance of the one. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. Seeking one. In verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, she lose one piece, she goes to find it. In verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You and I, if we could just get a hold of that. I don't have to talk to 1,000 people. I don't have to talk to 20 people. I don't even have to talk to 8 people. And if I can, praise God. But surely we could talk to one. Surely in a week we could talk to one. One person. That's not a lot to ask, is it? But it won't just happen. It won't just happen. You're going to have to determine before the Lord. You're going to have to understand that it's a decision made, and I'm going to have to seek that one that God would have me talk to. You think about the Lord Jesus as he sought out and emphasized the importance of one, the man by the pool, the man who was born blind from birth, Zacchaeus up the tree, the woman at the well, the maniac Gadara, and on, the Lord Jesus was seeking out these ones, one here, one there, one by the pool, one up the tree, one on the cross alongside him as he's dying, one here, one there, one somewhere else. Yes, he spoke to the multitudes and he spoke to the crowds, but the crowd said, see you later, we're going out of here, we're not sticking around. But he went for the ones here and the one there. You and I can do that. You and I can do that. We can seek for one. Thank God we don't have to seek for 1,000 to be overwhelmed. We wouldn't say, oh, how am I ever going to find 1,000? If you've ever been in any direct selling businesses, you're trying to find contacts. Any sort of sales, you're trying to find contacts. How can I find more contacts? Whoa, God said, just find one. Just seek for one. One person. One person to talk to. Then notice something else about it. Having made this decision to seek out for one, we need to do what? We need to be persistent at it. Well, I went out yesterday and couldn't find anybody, so I give up. You know, that's it. I prayed about it. God didn't give me one. I'm just finished. I'm at it. No. Notice in verse 4 again. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? The man said, I am going to find that sheep. I am going to find it. I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep searching. I'm going to keep seeking. You say, where was it? Well, it was out in the wilderness. He said, I'm going to find it. I am going to find this sheep. I don't care how long it takes me. I don't care what I have to go through. I mean, he's out in the wilderness. He's not walking around in a nicely manicured oval. Oh, there's the sheep over there. We'll just go get it. No, he's out in the wilderness trying to find this lost sheep. Where's it gone? He's got to think now, where's it likely to be? Where would it most likely go? Would it be looking for water perhaps? Let's see if I can find some water. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's where's some good pasture out there? I know we had the flock out there. And this one's obviously got away. Where's some good grassy areas? I'll go and see. But he's out there seeking and he's persisting. And it's the same with the woman with the coin. The Bible says in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. She said, I am going to keep at it until I find it. Now, is that your attitude and my attitude when it comes to looking to do what Paul says, telling people so that they can hear, so that they can believe? Are we persistent about that? You know, do we continue with that? Sadly, someone said to me one time, I don't know who it was, maybe Pastor Weston or someone, they said most people do the majority of their witnessing or getting the gospel out, talking to people, most of them do it in the first 2 years they're saved. That's about it. You know, by then they've worn out all their family and friends and neighbours and they kind of give up, you know. Well, that's it. I've done my bit. And they're not persistent. Now, if we've been saved 50 years, we ought to be still looking to seek, to find. So who can I talk to about the Lord to share the gospel with them? No, there's no time limit on this. This goes on until the Lord comes, amen? We're to be seeking and we're to be persistent until, in other words, we're to be faithful at it. Be faithful in getting the gospel out. Be faithful in looking for these lost people. And they're out there. They're out there. You know they're out there. And I'm not talking about the masses of people. I'm talking about those people out there who've got some questions about what's life all about. And why is my life a mess? And why have I got all this pain? And why have I got all this misery? And why? There's people out there like that. You go out then you start seeking some. You'll find some. Might be the woman on the checkout or someone, but people out there, everybody out there's got their problems. And we have to be persistent in seeking them out. Seeking them out. Not only that, notice here in verse 4 again, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Notice this man. He could have said, well, I've got 99. What's one? Sorry, sheep. You know, if you find your way back, that'll be good. If you don't, too bad. The wolves will eat you or the bears will eat you or something out there. Someone will take you home and cook you and roast you, whatever. But I've got 99. No. He said, yeah, I've got 99. He said, there's still one out there. I went out with 100, I've only come back with 99, I've got to go and find that one. Not satisfied until all are in the fold. The woman had 9. Well, 9's good enough, I've lost one. Oh, well, I've still got 9. She said, I've got 9, but I want that 10th one. I'm going to persist until I find that one. You and I ought never be satisfied. Well, last week I spoke to 2 people about the Lord. I'll have a holiday for 6 months now. I don't think so. You may say that, but that's not what this parable teaches. This parable teaches we keep going until all. If everybody in this town was saved except one person, we all ought to be looking for an opportunity to talk to that one person. Amen? Until all be. You say, not all are going to get saved. I know, that's why we never give up and stop. We'll never have that opportunity, that luxury to say, well, they're all saved now, we can all sit back and take it easy. It's not going to happen. And so we have to develop the attitude and the determination and the persistence to say, I'm going to keep going. I don't care how many times I've spoken to that person about the Lord until they get saved. I'm going to go back there. You say, how often do you talk to someone? Well, I don't know exactly the figures of that. You work that out for yourself. What if they say they don't want to talk to you? Well, don't talk to them. That's simple. But until they say, don't you talk to me about that ever again, then you need to kind of just test the waters every now and then and see whether there may be an opportunity there, because we ought not to be satisfied until all. And we certainly ought not to be satisfied until all have heard at least once. At least once. You know, there's people in this town, I'd be interested to know how many, God knows, who've never heard the gospel clearly, I guarantee. Guarantee. There are people in churches today in this town who have not heard and been challenged clearly with the gospel. Their need to repent and trust Christ as their Savior. They're sitting in churches today and they have been lulled to sleep because they think God loves everybody and as long as you're a good person, you'll be in heaven. It's all good. And that is a lie of the devil. And they've never been... So how do you know? I went to a Methodist Sunday school till I was, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, until I was big enough to say I'm not going back there. But I was never challenged with the gospel. Nobody ever challenged me. No Sunday school teacher, anybody ever came to me and said, you need to get saved. Do you understand that? Do you understand that Christ died for you? You know, it's all very good to say, well, you know, God so loved the world. That's nice, yeah, and we all say, amen. But God so loved me as an individual, I need to be challenged as an individual about my need of salvation, that I'm a sinner, that I need to repent of my sins. I need to believe that Jesus died for me. I need to believe that he rose again from the grave on my behalf. I need to believe in him. There's churches and churches, let alone out in the world, people have never been challenged with the gospel. Till all. Well, I've got 99, but there's still one out there. I've got 9, but there's still one out there. And I've spoken to them once, but by God's grace, I'm going to speak to them again. We're not satisfied until all have heard. It's what I call, we need some holy discontent. I'm not happy that there are people out there today who have never heard the gospel. I'm not happy about that. You say, well, you know, I can live with that. I'm not happy about that. Lord, there's people out there who've never heard. What are we doing about it? Well, you know, I'm busy. We'll get a little less busy in some areas and get a little more busy and a little bit more determined, a little more definite, a little more seeking, see the importance of one and get a little more busy about getting the gospel out to people out there who are unsaved. Something else about all this, not only do we need a holy discontent, but may I remind you that not all the people out there that we're going to talk to are nice people. They're not all nice people. They're not all warm, friendly, and on the same wavelength as we are. They're not all nice. In fact, there are a bunch of publicans and sinners out there. They're sinners. They're not all nice people. Imagine this sheep somewhere out in the wilderness. You've got to get out there in a pretty rough place to find it. You say, I wouldn't want to go down the east end of town because the real sinners down there. That's just where you need to go. You say they're worse than others. They're no worse than anybody else. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So they look like big sinners. Let me tell you, those people who get around in new Mercedes and suits and everything, they might not look like big sinners, but they are. They are. They're big sinners too. And some of them are bigger sinners than those people out there at the East End. You know, one of our politicians is in trouble now because of child pornography. Imagine that. So who is it? I don't know. But he's a big sinner. So he's a good person. He doesn't... He's a big sinner. You see, sometimes we prejudge, don't we? Oh, well, you know, we'll talk to the nice people. You know, most nice people don't want to know. Most nice people couldn't care less. Because they're nice. They don't need God. Who needs God? I've got everything I need. I've got a nice house, nice car, and all that kind of stuff. This sheep was out in the wilderness. You've got to get out there where it gets a bit rough sometimes. You've got to get out there where people maybe abuse you a little bit and mock and scoff and slam the door if you're door knocking. Do a few things like that. You say, I don't like that. You get used to it after a while. It's a bit of fun. See how many times you get the door slammed this week. Wow, how good was that? 5 this week. That was good. Kind of just lighten up a little bit, amen? We get all tense. Oh, what if they shut the door? You know what happens if they shut the door? They shut the door. Simple, isn't it? Well, I've probably shared before. We went to a man's place one day. We were door knocking. And this fellow opened the door and immediately slammed it. And I said to Brother Jim, oh, that's a bit rough. I said, I think we need to knock on there again. He said, oh, I thought about that. I said, you do it. I said, no, get out of the road, I'll do it. So I knock on the door again. He opens the door. He's about to slam it again. I said, before you slam the door. He said, what? I said, you think we're Jehovah's Witnesses, don't you? He said, yeah. I said, we're not. Bang, slammed the door. Didn't make any difference. You've got to get out there in the wilderness a little bit sometimes. You've got to get out where it's a bit rough and, you know, where people aren't so nice. You know, get out where there's a few dirty ones and you think about the coin. Where's the coin? It's lost. It's somewhere down in the dirt and dust in the house. So you've got to get down there where the dirt and the dust is sometimes when you're seeking the lost. Their lives are down in the dirt and dust of life. They're all messed up. They're messy. You go there to their place, it's a shambles. There's stuff everywhere, and it's a hopeless-looking case. That's okay. That's okay. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except someone tell them? It just doesn't happen. You and I have a responsibility to get down sometimes in the dirt and the dust. You think about the prodigal son. He would have been an interesting fellow to witness to. In verse 15, the Bible says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He's right down the bottom of the barrel. He's down there in the pig pen, literally. Now let me tell you, and I've shared this before, I know. You get down in the pig pen for a little while, you stink. You do. My brother-in-law worked in a piggery for a while. Anytime he came round to visit after being working in the piggery, it smelt like he brought the whole piggery with him. I mean, somehow that pig smell, you walk in that pigsty, it just jumps on you. Try and brush it off, it won't work. Just rub it in, that's all you do. You got to get there busy, get showered, get bathed, get all the cologne, all that kind of stuff, and then hopefully it'll go away. You know, imagine this prodigal son. He said, I don't know whether I want to witness to him. Boy, he's a bit of a wild case. That's okay. That's okay. Especially when we see what happened with him, amen. He came to himself. He finally woke up and said, I'm in a mess and I need to do something about it. He said, I will arise and go to my father and I'll say unto father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Boy, wouldn't it be good to witness to someone like that? Someone who's down there in the pig pen of life. Someone who's a write-off, we might say. And be able to sit down and share with them the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that if they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God would forgive them and cleanse them from their sin and it would make them a child of God and they'd be a new creature in Christ. What a message to share with people. So we've looked at that side. I just want to also encourage, there's a good side. Verse 6, the man has found his sheep. Verse 5 says, and when he had found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. He's gone out in the wilderness there and he's found his sheep and he is rejoicing. Praise the Lord. See blue you are. Yes. Whoa, how good is this? I found the sheep. Not only that, now he goes to his friends and says, come and rejoice with me. See blue you are together. Let's do it together. Amen. Rejoicing. You know, it's a joyful business. Talking to others about the Lord. You say, but you get ridiculed and criticised a bit. Yeah, that's true. But my experience since I've been saved is every time I've had opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord, I've always felt joyful afterwards. So how good was that? What a blessing to be able to share with that person how to be saved. The Bible tells us there as you read on in verse 7, not only was the man rejoicing, but so were his friends. You know what it is when we read these letters from these missionaries? I don't know about you, but I always get blessed when I read about them getting the gospel out and people are hearing the gospel and some are being saved. I don't know about you, but I just say, yes, how good is that? Joyful. But not only that, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And the Lord says, listen, this has got a real ripple effect. You get out there and share the gospel with someone. If they get saved, then you'll be rejoicing. All your friends will rejoice. And heaven will rejoice. There'll be joy in heaven. You read in verse 9. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. For I have found the peace which I had lost. She's happy now. She's had to be committed. She's had to persist. She's had to work her way through the dust and the dirt and whatever else is around the place and maybe looking under furniture and doing all that and work. But now she's found it. My, how good is that? And she wants her friends to come and rejoice with her. Rejoice. And again, the Lord emphasizes verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Heaven says, yes, sea blue you are, amen. Another sinner has repented. Rejoicing. It's like the father with the son, isn't it? In verse 20, the prodigal son arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Let's be joyful. Let's rejoice that this son who was lost, and he speaks about that down further, last verse, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. What a blessing. The joy of sharing with lost people the gospel, the joy of seeing them respond to the gospel. You say, it's hard work. What in life, which is worthwhile, doesn't require some hard work? Everything in life requires some work. It doesn't just happen. But there's joy. Joy. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. There is joy. But let me ask you a couple of questions in closing. This last week that's just gone by, how many people did you speak to about the Lord? You don't have to tell me. You just answer that before the Lord. How many people did you determine, try, make an effort to share the gospel with this week? You say, I didn't talk to anybody about the gospel, but there were two or three people I were able to talk to just for a little while. That's okay. You did what you could. That's okay. But this last week, how many people did you speak to? How many people did you pass a tract to? You say, well, I'm a shy person. Well, give them something to read. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, don't say anything. Just give it to them. And then run. Just in case they ask you a question, amen. What's that? All they can see is dust. So then they've got to read it, don't they, to find out what you gave them, amen. That'll work. But how many did you and I did this past week, were we committed to trying to talk to someone? Because Paul says, what? How shall they believe except they hear? And how shall they hear except someone tells them? Did you and I make a determined effort this past week to say, Lord, I'm going to witness to someone? And then think about it. On your performance last week, okay, how long will it take for everybody in this town just this town, to hear the gospel once. Based on the number of people you spoke to last week about the Lord, I'm not even saying now shared the gospel with. I'm talking about anybody at all that you in some way tried to get a conversation going or tried to share the gospel in some form or tried to hand something out. On that particular effort, how long would it take us to reach the town? I'm talking to myself now, don't worry about that. How long would it take? How long would it take us to get around this town to make sure that everybody has heard the gospel once? Now, I don't know about you, but it's an area that is a constant challenge to myself. How shall they believe except they hear? And how shall they hear except someone tell them? It's not going to just happen, folks. You and I know that. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that and challenged about that. Let me encourage you, even this morning before the Lord, to say, Lord, based on last week's performance, this town would never hear the gospel unless we're here for the next 10,000 years. You know, one a week's going to take quite a while. None a week's going to take a real long time. 10 a week would still take quite a time. But by the grace of God, say, Lord, I understand what Paul is saying. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except someone tell them? And this, you know, people try and dodge and weave and duck. I remember people telling one day, well, that's just a calling. Unless you're called of God, that is phooey. You say, what's phooey? I don't know, but it sounds all right. It is phooey. Every one of us has a responsibility to talk to people in the sphere of our lives. And then to step outside that little comfort zone and try for some other somewhere. We have that responsibility before the Lord. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So not everybody's going to get saved. I know that. The Lord knows that. But it doesn't take away the responsibility that we have to get the gospel so they can hear at least once. I trust the Lord might stir our hearts up, stir my own heart up, that this week I'd be a little more determined, a little more persistent. I'd be making a decision, Lord, by your grace, this week I'm going to talk to someone or try to talk to someone. Maybe even, Lord, I'm too scared, I don't know what to say. That's okay, just say hello. Hello. I'd like you to read this. You say, I don't know how to say that. Well, just go hello and put it in their hand. You know? You say, I don't know. Well, walk past their house and drop it in their letterbox. Yeah, what if they're in the front yard? Keep walking. And then wait around the corner until they go inside. And then run back. Put it in and run off. See? But be determined by God's grace. This week, Lord, I, by your grace, I want someone to hear so that they have the opportunity to believe. Amen? Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for these wonderful truths, Lord. And Lord, the responsibility which we have, and we know the Lord Jesus said, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And Lord, in this land that we live, the freedoms and the availability of Bibles and all these things, Lord, we have great, great responsibilities. And Lord, we know, as Paul wrote, that people can't believe except they hear. And they can't hear unless someone tells them. And Lord, we each have a responsibility. Lord, we've all got different talents and abilities and all those kind of things, but we all have a responsibility to be determined. To try and be faithful and persistent in talking to people and sharing the wonderful gospel, the good news for life and for eternity about the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross in their place and his burial and his resurrection. Lord, help us this week, each one, Lord, to be determined, not to be put off by ridicule and scoffing. And Lord, we know that comes. The Lord Jesus went through it. Paul went through it. Everybody goes through it. Crazy, moody. All go through it. But Lord, to see a higher goal in mind here, Lord, to see that people are lost. And except they hear, they can't believe. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us this week to put these things in practice in our lives. And Father, there's anybody here this morning who's still lost. They're not saved. They've never trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. They've heard the message, maybe. Maybe they're still weighing it up in their own thoughts, in their own heart, in their own lives. But Lord, if there's someone this morning who needs to be saved, I trust and pray that you would work in their hearts and lives. Lord, bring them to that place of true rest and trust in Christ and Him alone for the forgiveness of their sins. That they would believe on the Lord Jesus, His death in their place, His resurrection for them, and they might be saved. And so, Father, we would just commit ourselves to you now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.